You're listening to the ISU Jazz Combo, Chow 4-Piece, perform in early April at Jazz Up Front in downtown Bloomington. Members say learning how jazz legends played is a great start to creating their own sound. Mason Rydell and Joe Thiemann alternate on trombone in the quartet that includes bass, drums, and guitar. They joined us in the GLT studios to talk about the future of jazz. Rydell started with how the band came up with its unique name.
Well, so James had called me one night. He needed a group for...
James is?
James, the owner of Jazz Up Front.
James Gaston.
He called me one night looking for a group to fill in. He had a opening on a Thursday and asked me if I had a group to play, and I said yes. He was like, well, what's the name? And we really didn't have a name at the time, so I came up with Chow 4-Piece because Stephanie's our... youngest member and one of our...
And she's your guitar player.
She's our guitar player, yeah. She's one of our more improvisationally gifted members, so I figured why not.
So, yeah. Joe, where are you from?
I'm from Tampa, Florida originally.
Oh, that's great jazz country down there.
Yeah, my wife's from up this area, so when we had an opportunity to move back a few years ago, we did, and, you know, fortunate enough to be here studying with Director of Jazz Studies Tom Marco now, and and it's been really great playing with these guys at Jazz Up Front on Thursday nights, because it's really just a great venue to go and hang out, play, and practice, you know, jazz. And, you know, it's really great that Jazz Up Front still cares about live music. So many places have just gone to a jukebox. So
yeah, and the Thursday nights are nice too, because it's a nice chance we get to test out some stuff we normally wouldn't be able to.
Mm-hmm. Well, where are you from, Mason?
I'm from Flossmoor, Illinois.
Joe, did you play in jazz bands out in clubs down in Tampa?
Yeah, I used to play every now and then at the Fox Jazz Club down in Tampa, Della's After Dark down in Brandon. It's right next to Tampa. When I was down there, I was a graduate student at the University of South Florida and got to play in the USF big band led by Grammy-nominated Chuck Owen. So it was that.
So when you were
music.
Studying in Florida, were you studying jazz in Florida or something else?
I was actually a classical major, but I was sort of thrust into jazz because when I first got accepted into grad school, my professor, Tom Brantley, who's an amazing jazz trombonist, called me. He was actually on tour in Italy at the time. It must have been midnight his time. He's like, we have a jazz assistant opening. Do you want it? I'm like, well, yeah, free college. Why not? So so because I was a jazz graduate assistant, you know, they pretty much told me I had to be in all the jazz ensembles. So okay. It worked out pretty well for me.
So you're a grad student here at ISU then?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on a second master's now. I have a master's of classical trombone performance, so now I'm getting a master's of jazz performance.
Talk about the difference between the two. I mean, those are both very difficult musics to study.
Well, yeah.
But they are different.
They are different in a way. I mean, you have a whole lot more musical freedom in jazz. But it's not just play anything you want. I mean, you still have to follow a structured path. And right now, Dr. Marco has got me doing an awful lot of transcribing and just trying to really learn from guys like JJ and Curtis Fuller and Delphio Marcellus and Carl Fontana. I mean, the list can go on. And just trying to figure out what those guys were doing so I can, you know, one of my old professors used to say, if you're going to steal from the best.
You know, I want to ask you about that. Mason, hang on. I will get back to you. And you're a trombone player as well.
Yes, I am.
So you could answer this question. So if you're transcribing J.J. Johnson and Kay Winding and Al Gray and those kinds of people, how do you learn to improvise by transcribing what other people have already done?
Well, you take what they have done and add it to what you already know. You look across even all the guys you mentioned. I mean, they were... If you listen across different albums, a lot of times they pulled from the same stuff. If you listen to guys like Jim Pugh that teaches over at the U of I, I mean, he can play Carl Fontana probably better than Carl Fontana played.
But is he playing Jim Pugh when he's doing that?
Oh, yeah, he's still Jim Pugh. He puts his own spin on it, and I put my own spin on things, too. It's learning the vocabulary. It's like a classical musician listening to great classical players to see how they're phrasing something. ¶¶
You're listening to music from Chow for Peace, recorded last week at Jazz Up Front in downtown Bloomington. They're playing again Thursday night at Jazz Up Front. In studio, it's Joe Thiemann and Mason Rydell from the band. Mason, do you want to take a shot at that same question?
Yeah,
if you're transcribing other people, how do you develop your own sound?
I definitely agree with Joe. Transcribing like things from other people's solos is, in my mind, comparable to using a Bach piano learning piece or like a prelude or something. You're taking a melody that someone chose to use and you're mixing it into your choice of sounds and melodies and patterns and stuff. All melodies, all jazz melodies especially, are just combinations of notes and patterns. What really makes it different is the style that you yourself put onto it. So we're playing Night in Tunisia right now with the big band, with Dennis McCrell. And Joe has transcribed some of the solo from the arrangement that we're using, our reference recording. And he's not just playing it verbatim. He's playing it and then he's using Joe's sound. He's using his style and his way of playing, and he's mixing it in. It's like a cameo almost. It's in the middle of one of his sentences.
So you guys are studying jazz. I don't know who wants to take it. Joe, you guys are studying jazz, and you've been studying classical as well. What do you want to do with that?
Well, my all-time goal is to eventually move on to a doctorate of musical arts and hopefully, fingers crossed, someday get a college teaching job. That's what I really want to do.
Mason, jazz has been in decline for a long time. The death of jazz has been out there for decades right now. When I talked with Dennis Mackerel yesterday, who's going to be at ISU this week and at Jazz Festival this weekend, he pushed back against that a little bit and said there are opportunities out there and there's a lot of Debbie Downers out there as well. How do you look at it? What do you want to do with this? Are you looking to be a performer? And if you want to perform, are you a jazz performer?
Well, I agree with Dennis. I think that there's a lot of stuff going on right now that is kind of denying that jazz is dead. There's so much, not even just in the sense of like classic big band and even combos, there's just a lot of jazz fusion going on, and not necessarily jazz fusion, but even just jazz revitalization. And a big thing right now is brass band music.
Mm-hmm.
Taking shape and also taking many different shapes. There's a couple popular bands. Lucky Chops is one that's coming up. Their arrangement is trumpet, tenor saxophone, barry sax, trombone, and tuba and drum set. And then there's another band, No BS Brass Band from Richmond, Virginia. They're making a big climb right now and they're extremely popular. But there's just a lot of people and a lot of groups right now that are trying to not let jazz decline.
Well, I'm aware of a couple of other groups. Either one of you can take a stab at this. But I'm guessing the ones that you mentioned also are incorporating more entertainment value into what they're doing, as opposed to maybe a quartet that just sits up on stage and just kind of plays. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. So Lucky Chops, they actually got their start performing in New York subways. And they would perform on the street, and they're very lively guys. They dance around while they play. They sound great.
Well, and that's what it seems like. The younger people, not everyone is younger, I suppose, but a younger jazz cats, we'll say, right? They are incorporating some of those more entertaining elements or just different sounds, whether it's rock or R&B or whatever, into their sounds. Is that necessary for jazz to continue to evolve?
I don't know if it's necessarily necessary.
Maybe as a performance?
Yeah, I think for a performance aspect, you're always trying to look for something new. Like Miles Davis, for example, did not just continue with the swing big band era. He came out with this thing called bebop, and that's where jazz went. And now jazz is kind of going the fusion thing, and it's nothing new. I mean, people are really starting to pick on it more in droves, but, I mean, cats like Jerry Hay and Earth, Wind, and Fire, I mean, they've been trying to fuse rock, fusion, jazz, all these incorporations, and that was back into the 70s they mm-hmm. were starting to do this. And I mean, I hate to say it's always kind of about the bottom line and making money, but eventually sometimes you want to do that too, as well as art. It's not just fusion. I mean, last semester we had the opportunity to go over to Galesburg at Knox College and play with the great jazz composer Maria Schneider, she's kind of taken a different turn in jazz music, where she's started incorporating classical ideas into her jazz groups. I believe it was her Winter Morning Walks album from a few years ago. She actually recorded with a bunch of New York classical artists and walked away with 4 Grammys afterwards. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the same jazz that Tommy Dorsey played or that Miles Davis played, or, you know, jazz is, it's evolving just like every other sort of music. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, there's definitely a future there. You just have to carve your way to it.